You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Ohio Business Machines, OBM. When it comes to Browns fans, their loyalty for our team is unconditional. So is the loyalty that OBM provides to its customers with OBM's exclusive no-risk guarantee and 7-year security blanket, teamed with OBM's designation as the only Sharp Platinum level service provider in town. So OBM can tackle any of your copier problems and you'll never scramble to keep your office running. Now the preferred document services provider of the Cleveland Browns, visit OhioBusinessMachines.com today or call 216-485-2000. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm opening up the phone lines to get your reaction to the Browns' heartbreaking 23-21 loss at First Energy Stadium against the Baltimore Ravens. Let's go to Steve in Columbus now. Steve, welcome to the show.
How's it going, guys?
Good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Look, I love the team. The offense has been great. Defense, there's been some issues, but there's been some really questionable things going on with the special teams, and you guys have addressed a lot of it. But one thing I want to know, if you go back to New Orleans on the field goal kick that, you know, we won the game with, the ball,
yep,
it was almost blocked on that play.
Yep.
If you watch, Armani Bryant is blocking on the end of that, on that end. This week, if it does get kicked or blocked, and you see Billy Wynn is blocking, why do we have defensive ends blocking on the field goal unit, on the ends, on the, probably the most important portion of the line on a field goal attempt? Can anybody answer that question for me?
Well, I'll answer the
question. Yeah, you've been in those rooms. You've actually had that position, Matt. So how does that come to be?
Why, again, like I said, I've played that position. The position that Billy Wynn was in, that wing position, is a difficult position. And the one, and again, this is not an excuse. It's a point of emphasis, you know, and it's something that, you know, I knew was my opportunity to be on the football field, and I was meticulous in my preparation coming from the split in my alignment and my hand position. And also, too, for the fact of the matter is, my awareness and study of who was going to be rushing me, because that's the one thing that I think might be getting overlooked, is because you have, you know, some guys that are in a starting rotation playing in these positions, and you can possibly see any time that you have a starter on special teams, your emphasis is always offensive defense. You know, the really good football teams, the really meticulous football teams that are prepared to win week in, week out, have attention to detail every single time they're on the football field. And I think as you and I, Nathan, looked at it, you know, the alignment was not proper. You know, he was setting himself up to fail with a short corner, and that's something that the Baltimore Ravens saw. Why a defensive player? Because they're big, they're strong, they're physical, and they can protect that point, which is why you put them there.
Yeah, and as we talked about, you know, even watching the one against New Orleans, on Billy Wynn's side, the right side once again, I don't think it was necessarily something that Billy Wynn did wrong. You just see the way that he's aligned was a little bit tighter inside than they were on the other side of the field. And in fact, compared to the New Orleans play, he was actually lined up even tighter in the one against the Ravens. So that's something you want to see, I would think. You know, coached up, was there a rule for you in terms of how you wanted to be aligned, the way that you were coached? Obviously in San Diego, it's different in every special teams unit, but was there a set that you tried to match your left foot against?
Yes, there was. So you always let the guy, obviously, on the line of scrimmage align first, and then you based your split, which was in some cases like 2 inches behind his heel and 4 inches inside of his. So you create that interlocking legs.
So you can split your
game. Yeah, so right. You'll see guys from time to time jump through that, but you want them to jump through, not pass through. But also, too, is you got to find that happy medium, because then also, too, is you want to have that split for a reason, because you do not want to create that short corner. And as we saw, you know, in watching the film, and if you fans or listeners out there get an opportunity to go back and watch that from the end zone, you'll see one side versus another. And I'm sure, you know, Coach Tabor is addressing that in this meeting. And I don't know. We may see Billy Wynn again with the proper splits, but he might just go, you know, that sometimes is a revolving door. Is you're going to try and find a guy until you find the right guy, and he becomes your guy for the rest of the year.
How much time do you get for special teams? Because, for example, you're a linebacker. Billy Wynn's a defensive lineman. So you're spending a lot of time in those meeting rooms.
Sure.
How much time do you get actually just for teams meetings, etc., because, you know, there were a lot of issues here. You had the blocked field goal. You had the missed field goal with a low snap there. You had what I thought was a big field position swinger at the end of the game with Travis Benjamin. How much time, because while it is a third of the game play-wise, it certainly is not. How much time does a team get to actually devote to special teams?
Well, I would imagine they do it very similarly here in Cleveland. But every place that I've been, the special team meetings is always the first meeting of the day, meaning a meeting started at 8 a.m. You have a 20-minute or 30-minute special teams meeting where I'll usually do kick return on one day, punt return on another day, and, of course, a field goal and field goal block on Fridays. But again, those are reviewed throughout the week, and there's a session of that same grouping built into practice as well. So if it's a 15-minute, a period, you get 15 minutes to work on it. So it is very touch and go. And so the reps that Billy Winn or whoever was at that position got, a significant portion of those were throughout training camp, which is why he essentially was the man for the job. So he's not getting any live reps at all week long, and essentially all season long, but in the game, because it's essentially almost a walkthrough scenario when the guy's literally, defensive line literally just steps across the line. You take, you kind of throw your hands prospectively at whatever rush is going to be there. So it's a really lollygag type of period, because you don't want to have, 11 on 11 crashing into each other midseason.
Right. Absolutely. We've seen injuries. Rob Gronkowski broke his arm. And same thing on a field goal there. 216-578-0850, the way to get on board. We want your reaction to yesterday's game. I think the overall consensus, certainly that I'm seeing on my Twitter, and I can tell you how I feel as well, is yes, there is disappointment, but there is tangible progress with this team. This team had Baltimore on the ropes. They were the better team. I know that the Ravens, I think, felt very fortunate to escape with a win here. 216-578-0850. We'll go back to our Ohio Business Machine's hot topics as well, and we do want to hear from you on these. We've decided the defense right now, that is certainly our biggest concern here with this squad. But overall, a lot to gain from. We got phone calls again. We'll go to Kyle in Massillon now. Kyle, welcome to the show with Nathan Zagura and Matt Wilhelm.
How are you guys doing today?
Good, brother. How are you?
Good. Hey, my biggest thing is right now, what is going on with our defensive line? I mean, we can be mad that we missed a field goal, but a field goal is not the reason we lost the game. The reason
Correct.
We lost it is that our defensive line was giving up huge runs. For some reason, we can get penetration when it comes to a pass, but on run, we cannot stay in our lanes, and we're letting these guys get up right in the middle of us to our secondary and our defense.
No, I think more so than anything, it's technique and their mentality. And I'll say this as a defensive player. It's like when your number gets called, or you know that you're being aggressive and taking that approach in a blitz or a zone blitz. It's, you kind of ramp things up. You dig your feet into the ground and you want to, burst off the ball. And when you're playing just a base defense, which means it's like essentially a front and a coverage behind it, you kind of, your mind just naturally goes, oh, okay, I just got to do my job and win my gap. And you don't take, and you just get off the ball, but you don't fly off the ball. And I think that's what we're seeing, which in fact we should not see, because the defensive line is the deepest group, I believe, on this football team. So these guys should be fresh, play in, play out. And lastly, it's we're out of position in some cases. As I said last week, as we talked, Nathan, it was like, we're going to see a mirror image of ourselves in this zone run scheme. And I think we're just playing lazy, and we're just, kind of expecting, the fact that we're 330 pounds and we're bigger and stronger, that we're going to get in that position. Well, these guys are paid professionals too, and they're just torquing on us and blowing us off the ball and coming off the ball and creating that surge, that we can't get off. So it makes it very, very tough as an inside linebacker to make those plays when you've got, defensive linemen on your heels.
I think when you look at it, it's a unit that, as a group, as you said, for a variety of reasons, is struggling against the run. And this is Pro Football Focus's grading, which is not NFL team grading, but it's certainly a way that they do it, and they apply the same standards to everybody in the league. So when they arrive at something, at least there is some comparative value in it. Amongst the 72 nose tackles or defensive tackles against the run right now, they have a Taba Rubin graded 69th out of 72. Among our defensive ends in the 3-4, Billy Wynn's graded 15th against the run out of 52 defensive ends who have played at least 25% of their snaps. And then down at the bottom, you've got Phil Taylor grading out 47th out of 52nd, Armani Bryant 45th out of 52, and Desmond Bryant 36th out of 52. So three negative grades there with those guys. You got a negative grade on Ruben, and Ruben's getting blown off the ball a little bit. He's getting pushed back. We've seen that with, saw that with Phil Taylor a little bit as well. And I thought the Ravens offensive line, to their credit, did a very good job. They had a good mix of kind of washing guys out, flowing them one way, cutting on the backside. They did a great job with their cut blocking in this game. And ultimately, the Browns run defense is something that must improve if the Browns want to improve as a team and improve their one loss record. Because as Mike Pettine says, it's a pass fail league. Right now, they're failing against the run. And that's been a big reason why they haven't been able to win some of these games. Jim in Brunswick, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
You know, obviously the defense is struggling, but I want to bring up a point. Now, Brian Hoyer, I like Brian Hoyer, and he's playing great, but there's this, each game so far I've seen, he's underthrown some deep balls. If he throws that one ball out, I forget who caught it, but he stumbled and they tackled him, and that field goal got blocked. If it's out there, it's a touchdown. Okay, now, I'm not blaming it on him. I want to ask you guys going forward. Okay, he's in the last year of his contract. All right, we know he's not the coaches and the coordinators' guy. They didn't draft him. And he, let's say he stays around where he is, whatever his, say his rating's like high, mid-80s, which is like, you know, middle or a little bit above of average of NFL quarterback. Do you think they're going to sign him? Now, obviously he's not going to command Flacco or Cutler money, but I don't know if they're going to bring him back. I really don't. I mean, because if he throws that ball out there, that's a touchdown. And they like the deep ball.
Brian Hoyer, I think, has had a problem with underthrowing the deep ball early in the season. But the one to Travis Benjamin was underthrown but still was completed. So I'm not going to complain about that. They punched it in for a touchdown. The one to Taylor Gabriel, I think Taylor Gabriel kind of misjudged maybe in the wind a little bit and ended up diving. He didn't necessarily have to dive. He kind of stutter-stepped and then dove for it. If he didn't do that, stays on his feet, he walks in for a touchdown. I just thought that was a solid throw there from Hoyer. He's not a perfect quarterback, okay? And is he? Has he been solid? Yes. Has he exceeded expectations? Absolutely. Is he playing great? Yes. Is he a big reason why the Browns should be 3-0 as opposed to 1-2? No question about it in my mind. I think Brian Hoyer has done a very good job with this team. If the Browns go to the playoffs, I think that's going to become a very tough situation. If not, or this team sputters, et cetera, I think you're going to see Johnny Manziel get an opportunity because they need to know if they feel like he is the franchise guy. I think that's really where it comes down. Brian Hoyer just needs to keep playing weekly in and week out like he's playing right now, and it's all going to take care of itself because ultimately this is his dream job, right? To be the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns, his hometown team. This is his dream job. He said, I've heard him say it, I am living the dream. And by the way, he's living the dream, and he's performing phenomenally well while living that dream. But he's doing enough, I think, ultimately, if he continues down this path, that while the Browns may decide that Johnny Manziel's their guy, he's done enough to give himself an opportunity to start somewhere else in the NFL.
I definitely do too, and I think that for Brian Hoyer, he's got to stay status quo. He's got to keep doing what he's doing because what he is doing is he is finally getting his opportunity, seizing it, and building his resume in front of the other other NFL football teams. I will say this is I think the fact of the matter is the Browns can't. I do believe they can retain him. Significantly less than they would a franchise quarterback that we prototypically see making, $10+ million throughout season per season. So I do think you're going to get that hometown discount. And just looking across the NFL, it's, I don't know what team, because a lot of the bottom dwellers in this league have a young quarterback very similar to Johnny Manziel already playing. So I think that Brian Hoyer just has to, as you said, Nathan, continue doing what he's doing. Because he's building his body of work, and at this point right now, he's making himself money by the game.
And don't forget that even though, while it is true that, he has an opportunity to make more money here, and the Browns could bring him back at a significantly higher salary than the $1 million he's making, don't forget that they are going to have Johnny Manziel on that rookie contract for the next 4 years. So this year, and they have that fifth-year option on him, which will, again, keep it to be cheap. So Johnny Manziel, when you look at his salary cap number next year, you know, we're talking about a guy who's at the, on the cap this year, 1.4, next year, 1.8. They have room to give Brian Hoyer money still have the quarterback position be a very valuable position,
absolutely,
but still cheaper than the rest of the NFL there. So if Brian Hoyer is worthy of coming back and continues to play the way he is, he'll be back here. There's no question. So I think that the Browns are going to be just fine at that quarterback position. And I love, by the way, what Brian Hoyer did in this game. You want to see, obviously, that I'm sure he's sitting up all night, even though he played what I would call a phenomenal game and his best game since starting. I'm sure he's sitting up thinking about that last pass to Andrew Hawkins, where he had an opportunity to win the game. That ball was a little bit behind Hawk. Other than that, though, you got it. 19 of 25, 290 yards, 11.6 per attempt, 127 quarterback rating. The guy did a fantastic job. And ultimately, the fact that they couldn't come through in the fourth quarter is going to sit with them. It's kind of the opposite of that Saints game where they went through that lull and then came through at the end. This one, they were hot all game, especially in that third quarter, and then couldn't quite finish the deal in the fourth quarter. But Brian Hoyer, I think, is doing a great job here for the Cleveland Browns. When we return, we're going to get a perspective from three-time Super Bowl champion Jerod Cherry. Three questions with Jerod wraps things up here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.